So I know you're probably thinking right now, Damon, I don't have a problem with this issue. I don't have a problem with addiction in my life. I'm not like those other people that maybe they have issues with gambling, pornography, drinking alcohol. I don't have addiction in my life right now. Hey, and if that's not you, well, I'm glad, because there are definitely some addictions that can mess up your life, that can actually cause harm. But at the same time, look at addiction. When you look at someone who is addicted to whatever, they are controlled by that thing. They are thinking about it. They're talking about it. Their very identity is wrapped up around this particular thing that they are pursuing. And I think, whether we admit it or not, that there are a lot more addicts out there. There is so much more addiction out there, addiction to pleasure, addiction to the things of this life, addiction to the world. And we say, hey, I'm not addicted, but yet we can't live without these things in our life. We've given power to these particular things, and that love for the world is what controls us. We live for the things that we love. We live every day, every moment, that anticipation of receiving, that anticipation of experiencing. We live for these things, worldly things, secular things, when really that love needs to be given to God. That love for God needs to be the thing that has an effect on us, the element that is governing us, that is controlling us. We have God's Spirit. If you're a believer, you have the God's Spirit in you, but are you controlled by His Spirit? Are you led by His Spirit? What are you addicted to today? We're going to be talking about this on today's podcast. My name is Damon Matichera. Let's talk missions. So here we are again. Welcome back to the show. I'm glad that you've tuned in. You are listening to the Let's Talk Missions podcast, and the topic for today is on addiction. Before we get there, just another quick update from the Matichera family here in Zambia, Africa. Listen, if you don't really know a lot about our family, who we are, what we're doing, why we're here, I mean, why are we in Africa, 8,000 miles from home? Well, that's a good question. We are missionaries. We're independent Baptist missionaries. We have this mission. We've lived in Zambia for about 23 years. I came over here with my father. Later, I got married, and now my wife and I, with our six children, reside here in the city of Chapada in Zambia's eastern province. We love what we do. It is such an exciting life. Just yesterday, I had the chance to talk to several young boys with like a teen camp that they were in, and I really had the chance to just express what an exciting life this is. You know, we can focus on all the downside of missions, the hardship of missions, the loneliness, the frustration. And believe me, it is there. There are so many things that are just discouraging when you're trying to build a faith community, especially one that has so much witchcraft. You get this witchcraft that's ingrained in the culture, in the fabric of their society. And it's hard to unravel that and to allow for God to enter into the hearts of these people. But while all of that is said, it is such an exciting life. I just love what I do. I was looking back at just how long we've been here, and even in my younger years, that desire for excitement, that thrill. And I was even mentioning a lot of young people, they have that desire to live on the edge, to experience maybe some danger, but not too much danger. And, you know, that was what Africa was for me when I came here when I was 17 years old. And Africa, really, it gives you the whole package. It really does. I mean, we have everything that's deadly and dangerous, everything that could possibly can go wrong, usually does go wrong. I mean, you talk about living on the edge. My friend, was it a few months back, he actually was driving down the road going north and he ran into a hippo. I mean, that doesn't happen every day. I added that one to my bucket list because I too want to hit a hippo. You know, I've run over goats, pigs, chickens. Chickens, I mean, they usually just, you know, feathers go everywhere like in the cartoons. But I've never hit a hippo. Now, what happens if you do? I mean, with my friend, it just kind of bounced and rolled over and then got up. And I don't want to kill a hippo. I mean, please, don't put words in my mouth. No desire to kill a hippo. But it would be fun to run into one. But, you know, Africa has so much excitement here. Maybe too much excitement. But, you know, it's really the day in and day out of just living for God and building a foundation, a biblical foundation in the hearts of these believers and our disciples. And that's why we're here. We're trying to raise up a generation, the next generation of Christians that will teach their children and just start a movement for God, for Christ, so that these people can take the gospel and reach their own people. And my desire is for them to even go out to the regions beyond. And this was another thing that I was talking about yesterday. For me, coming from Rochester, New York, 8,000 miles away, this is the regions beyond. We are in the uttermost parts of the earth. But when I'm here and I'm teaching my disciples, this is their Jerusalem. I mean, this is where they live. This is what they're accustomed to. And so, I mean, they look at America as the uttermost. And so that's the danger of a missions church. Because a lot of times when the missionary comes to the field and teaches the people get this sense of entitlement where they feel they are the end-all of missions. They just are there to receive the generosity from the West. When really, that's not what the Great Commission is about. It's not about sponsoring people, drilling wells, paying for, you know, education. It's not about bettering people's lives so that they can, you know, do well in school or do well with whatever they're doing in their life. It's about giving them the gospel. It's about helping them to know the Lord so that they can live for God and reach their own people. I mean, in time, we would love to send out missionaries to other countries. We have Malawi, which is, you know, 15 minutes away. We have Mozambique, which the border is like 2 hours away. Why can't we reach these nations? Why can't we go and send people? You know, sometimes it's hard for people like me to cross borders, but it's not hard for these people. And so we want to equip, we want to empower God's people to live for Him, to raise their families in His ways, and then to take the gospel out and to do something with it. Really, at the end of the day, that's what we all should be doing, right? I mean, we all should be taking the gospel and doing something with it. That's kind of the purpose of this podcast, is so that we can understand that, hey, I may not be a missionary, but I still have a responsibility to do something with the gospel. A lot of Americans, they have the gospel. They have so much biblical teaching. They have a great foundation that's been laid for them. So many, they have access to so many preachers, great materials, books. But for everything that America has, what are we actually doing with it? You know, a lot of times people, they say, why is there such a decline in the American church? Why is there such a decline with moving forward, that forward advancement with the gospel? Is it, you know, because of the political situation in America? Is it because of the culture war? Is it because, you know, there's just no money, like a recession, because of the recession and a lack of finances? Is that hindering the missions movement? And really, I mean, maybe there's some truth to some of those reasons, but ultimately, you know, the Bible says that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's Matthew 24:12. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The love for God that maybe was there, the tip of the spear moving forward, advancing throughout the world with the gospel, with this missions movement, it's not so much seen anymore. Back in the day, in the golden days of missions, you know, the invitation for young men and women to go out to preach the gospel, it was there. It was being preached across the pulpits of America. We were encouraging our young people, our youth, to take the gospel and to go with it, to do something with it, to go to the uttermost parts of the earth, to surrender their lives. That's what was being preached. But today, that message is not there. Today, we have adopted this Bapticostal philosophy where, you know, you should be prosperous. You should just do well. You should just advance with your family and build something for yourself, settle down, live the American dream, and just do well, be well. And listen, I'm all for, you know, just all of that. I'm all for, you know, living comfortably and having different things. I mean, there's nothing wrong with any of that if you look at it. But at the same time, how can we do nothing with the gospel? If we're not telling people about Christ, then what are we living for? And that's where this topic of addiction comes in, because we're essentially talking about how we follow the things that we love. We're following our desires. We're following the things that have an effect on our life. And I've said it before, that's how we get the word affection. The Bible says, set your affection on things above, not on things of this world. And so where is your affection? The things in your life that have an effect on you. Now, we've talked a little bit about this, I think, last week. But what does this mean? Well, look at your life. What gets you excited? What motivates you? What just really gives you that zeal and excitement to move forward in whatever direction you're going? Is it your love for God, or is it something else? We need to be motivated as the people of God by God Himself and our love for Him and knowing that He loves us. That needs to be one of the focal points of our life, so that affection that we have for Him, that affection for the things of God, is what is pushing us forward. Because if our love is not directed towards God, then that means that we are redirecting it to the things of this life. You know, we're looking at this man, Stephanas, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15. It's kind of what this topic is centered around. The Bible says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And so these people, this family, this man, Stephanas, he addicted himself. That was a decision. He looked at his life, he looked at what he was living for, and he made the choice, I am going to give myself totally to God. I am going to love the things of God. I am going to do and get involved in the ministry of God. I'm going to help this man named Paul with his ministry, and I'm going to do whatever I can to get involved. And that's kind of where I'm directing you today. I want you to get involved. I want you to have that desire. You know, we looked at Matthew 24:12, and how the iniquity abounds. And surely we can look at that and see that's today. We look at the American church and iniquity abounds. And with that iniquity, the love of many shall wax cold. We are such a distracted people. There is so much going on. We could look at the politics of our day. We could look at the economy. We could look at just the social war that is going on. And things are going crazy. It really is. We're getting ready for our U.S. Election coming up next year. There's going to be different primaries coming up, debates, and all of that. And I try to keep track of everything. I listen to a number of podcasts, and I want to be informed. But we can get so wrapped up in the day by day in America that we get kind of distracted with what we should be doing. We get so focused on the things of this life that the things of God matter little, and that love for God just grows smaller and smaller. Now, I mentioned that when we talk about addiction, a lot of times we're not really looking at ourselves, because we consider that we don't have a problem with addiction. We don't have an issue with just being under the control of these different things that people give themselves over to. But I mentioned how, you know, when you talk about addiction, you can identify one by what they talk about, what they live for, and that's so true. And I want to look at just a brief list of how you can tell you're an addict. And hopefully, we are addicted, like Stephanus, to the things of God. Hopefully, we are so radically dedicated to God that that addiction to God and to His work and to His ministry, it is what is governing and motivating us. So think about this. In Matthew 12:34, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, when you're addicted to something, it's going to affect you. It's going to take over you. It's going to consume your life. And you're going to talk about it. You are going to be talking about it so much that people are going to be so annoyed with you. Think, when was the last time that someone had to tell you to shut up because you were just so excited about God, that you were so excited about the ministry and what God was doing in your life? You were just talking about it so much that people had to just say, hey, will you just stop it with God and the ministry? Has that ever happened? I mean, forget about just talking too much. When was the last time that maybe your friend came to you and said, hey, what are you reading in your Bible this week? Or when was the last time you said that? When's the last time that you've gone to someone and you've inquired of them, hey, how are you doing with your relationship with God? You see, when we talk about things, that speech reflects what's in our heart. When you look at an addict is going to be controlled by whatever is in their heart, whatever they are pursuing, whatever they're controlled by, they're going to talk about it. They are going to be looking for that thing, and it is going to be consuming their mind. And what's in the mind is going to come through with what is spoken. Are we speaking these words of life? I mean, we are Christians, right? We're Christians. We're believers. We're the children of God. We have new life, and we have the words of life, but we're not speaking them. We're not actively speaking and giving the world truth, because that's not what's coming off our lips. We might be talking about, you know, maybe the World Cup. Maybe we're talking about football or fantasy football. I know that's a big thing for a lot of people. We'll talk sports. We'll talk, we mentioned politics. We'll talk about different pastimes, different hobbies, different things that are going on. It's like our whole life revolves around this superficial, it doesn't matter type of conversations. And it's very rare that we talk about anything of substance, especially the things of God. Now, when you think about Stephanus over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, and how he addicted himself to the ministry of the saints, I mean, do you think that he talked about God at all? Sure he did. Do you think that he was even witnessing to people, telling them about Christ, telling them about how Jesus changed his life? I would imagine. I mean, if you're addicted to something, you're going to talk about it. You're going to be just so excited and so motivated about that thing that you're not going to be able to help yourself. You're just going to talk. You're going to speak. And that is the Spirit-filled Christian. If you're not talking about God, well, you're not Spirit-filled. You say, oh, damn it, how could you say that? How could you say that? The Bible says, judge not. Well, listen, no, that's a lie. Yeah, well, we're not judging you in the sense of giving you my opinion. I'm just giving you the Bible. If you don't like the Bible, well, then you have to get over that. Because the Bible tells us, the Bible instructs us to judge. We're to judge sin. We're to judge complacency. We're to motivate people to go out and to do more and to be more for God. And so let me say it again. What are you talking about? What are you talking about when you're with your friends? A lot of times we get together, maybe you have a fellowship and you're doing things and you just want to relax. At that moment, when you want to be just you, you just want to be with your friends. You want to just, you know, put up your feet and sit down. What do you talk about at that moment? Those are the things that are really in your heart. Those are the things that you love. And if it's not the things of God, well, then what is it? And why are we living for those things? And why is it that we love talking about so many other things, but talking about God gets kind of awkward? I mean, we're Christians, right? And if you were to walk up to someone, I mean, imagine this. You walk up to your friend and you say, hey, brother, I'm really excited about what I was reading in the Bible. I mean, how is it going with you? Have you gotten anything just amazing out of your Bible reading this week? I mean, can you imagine if you said that? You know, your friend might look at you like, are you okay? I mean, what are you on right now? Because talking about God and the ministry is not something that we normally do. It's not part of our normal talk. And sometimes I think people would be shocked. People would be very surprised if we actually brought it up. And it gets kind of awkward because we look at religion and we look at our relationship with God as a very personal thing instead of something that, you know, should be just right there in the front, the forefront of our life. And especially if you're with other believers, if you're talking about getting together with your friends who are also believers, well, hey, you have that common bond in Christ. Let your faith be known. The Bible says you're the light of the world. How are they going to know that you have light? How are they going to know that you have life if you don't talk about it? If you don't let that thing be made known? And you can do that by opening your mouth and speaking wonderful words of life. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Open your mouth, and hopefully your heart will show that love for God. And if you don't have a love for God, well, get some love for God in your life, all right? Get some love for God and share that love with the world. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, the Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Again, remember, addiction is talking about that love, that overwhelming, controlling, obsessive love that we give to so many things in our life. Yeah, and we looked just a second ago about how you're going to know if you're addicted to God and to the ministry by what you talk about. Well, another thing is by what you spend your money on. And this is a big thing. And listen, I have no motive here. I'm not trying to get your money right now. I mean, there are a lot of needs that, I mean, hey, if you want to give some money and support a project, there are so many things that are worthy that we're trying to do right now. And if you want to help out the ministry, well, contact us. We have a lot going on. But listen, what you spend your money on is where your heart is. We spend money. Everybody spends money. And in America, there's a lot of things that you can spend money on. You can go and just spend money. We're consumers. We love spending. We love consuming, and we're often consumed by the things we spend our money on. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, an addict will give themselves over so much, and that addiction will affect their wallet. It will affect their spending to the point that they will just spend and spend on the thing that they are pursuing. And that's how it should be with God. When our heart is given over to the Lord, when God and His work has an effect on us, we're going to want to spend money on His ministry. We have a great support team with our ministry. We have people that give, they give liberally to what we're trying to do. And listen, when people give money to Hope Zambia, when they give money to the Manachura family, it's not that we are just living high in Africa. We're taking that money and we are using it for the ministry. We are using it for gospel tracts. We're using it to go into the village. We're using it to maintain our vehicles so that we can go in the village and make disciples, so that we can have conferences, so that we can start new churches, so that we can buy land, build ministry bases, put up churches, all of that. That is what the money is going to when people support us, so that we can take the gospel where it's not being preached, so that we can go out where Christ isn't known. But that all happens with money. And when you support missions, that money is being spent for the ministry. We have a great support team. Our team is really invested, and not just, you know, financially, but also they're invested in us. And I'm really good friends with a lot of our supporters and people that have invested because we've built a relationship and we both have a desire. And usually those who give are also passionate about what we're trying to do. And that's the thing, is that people who give, if you surround yourself with givers, with people who are really passionate, people who are radical in their faith, radical for God, well, that's going to build some momentum. That's going to build some passion, and that's contagious. In our last episode, we talked about how addiction is contagious, but also that love for God is contagious. And when you're around people that love God, it's going to have an effect on you as well. When you're around people that are just spending their money for God and for His work, when you're around people that they're not afraid to help people out, to support a cause, that are supporting missions, you're going to want to also do that as well. And you're going to want to have a heart to give and to be a giver. You know, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And that's so true. But understand here that your addictions are going to have an effect on what you spend your money on. Often, we will spend so much money on ourselves. We're going to spend so much money on our own pleasure. And that's a really big thing in America, because we are pursuing this pleasure and we're pursuing this idea of happiness to the extent that we have given ourselves over to it. It's just all controlling. It gets obsessive sometimes. And there's nothing wrong with having fun. Again, I've said that once, I've said that twice, but you can have fun. You could go out and do things, and all that costs money, and there's nothing wrong with that. From time to time, we go to Lusaka. We do some fun things as a family, and that's all good. But at the same time, if we're only spending money on our own pleasure and we're not spending money on the things of God, well, then that shows where our heart is. That shows that we are addicted to the things of this life. And we would rather have this temporary, carnal, fleshly pleasure than to have this spiritual fulfillment in Christ, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord, and that we're giving to Him, and that we're excited to do it. You know, an addict will do things, and it will come naturally. There is no forcing an addict to follow his addiction. It's just something that's going to happen because he's addicted. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. You know, in the same way that an addict doesn't have to be forced to follow his addiction, a baby doesn't need to be forced to be hungry and want to feed. Okay, so as a Christian, you shouldn't have to be forced. That desire for God, it shouldn't be a desire that, you know, has to be pushed on you. You know, there's people sometimes, and people that I've trained, people that I've discipled, and sometimes I feel like I have to pull them and drag them along. It shouldn't be like that. If you really are sold out for God, if you love the Lord, then that desire is going to be natural, just as natural as any of your other desires, any of the things that you're actively pursuing. You shouldn't be forced to go out evangelizing with your church. You shouldn't be forced to be at church when church starts. You know, if church starts at 9 o'clock, well, be there by 8:30. Okay. If you have to go there grudgingly and you're just kind of like, oh, I have to go to church and man, I have to do this again. And you're just kind of fighting the whole way there. Well, you know, that's not that natural desire for God as a newborn babe desires the sincere milk of the word. Do you have that desire? Listen, a Christian will have desire for God. It's going to be there. If you have faith, if you have come to Christ and you have received Him, then that desire for Him will be present. And if it's not present, well, then I would wonder, are you a Christian? If you don't have that desire to know God and to grow, to be in His Word, then you have to really re-examine to see whether you are in the faith. Because without that desire, then is God's spirit there? Is he leading you? Are you pursuing him? Now, I'm not saying that you can't have a Christian that is backslidden, but at the very least, there should be some level of desire for God. There needs to be that natural inclination that we are going to pursue God. And so when we look at the desires that affect our life, know that it's going to affect your speech. You're going to talk about the things that you're looking for. You're going to spend your money on these things. Doing these things and taking part in whatever you're pursuing will come naturally. And all of this is going to come from your worldview. It's going to result from whatever mindsets that you have adopted. If you've adopted a very secular, worldly, carnal mindset, a fleshly mindset, well, then that will affect you in a fleshly way. You're going to have fleshly desires. You're going to talk about earthly things, worldly things. You're going to spend money on those things, and it's going to be very natural for you to pursue the things of this world. But in the same way, if you have a spiritual mindset, you're going to pursue God. You're going to be addicted to the things of God. You may need to change your mindset. You may need to adopt a more spiritually minded worldview. Your worldview is essential because it's going to shape how you make choices, how you make decisions, how you look at life, how you are defined, how you relate to people. All of that is determined by your worldview, whether you have a worldly mindset or a spiritual one. But you need to make choices that reflect your worldview. If you're a Christian, then you should be living for God. Live for God then. Make choices that reflect your faith. Make commitments in your life that reflect your love for God. But if you are a Christian and you're not living for God, then what is the point of that? What's the point of claiming Christianity and claiming a relationship with God if you really don't even have one? If you're not even interested in knowing God? I mean, why pretend? Why pretend that you have something that clearly you don't? Can I encourage you today? Make it real. Live for God. If you are a Christian, then live for God. Make that choice. Commit to that. Grow in your faith. You say, well, I don't really know the Lord like I should. Grow your faith. Develop a relationship with him. It takes time, just like any relationship. You need to wake up in the morning and pull out your Bible and read it. Read it with a desire to know God. Read it with a desire to hear from him, with a desire for him to change your life, to change it from the inside, so that as your heart is directed more towards him, that desire and that longing for him will be reflected in your actions. It will be reflected in your choices and how you live, and that's where it kind of connects to your worldview. Your worldview is shaped by the things you love, by the things that you are pursuing. And so today, I'm trying to encourage you to pursue God and surround yourself with people that are also pursuing him. People like Stephanus. Find yourself a Stephanus, someone who just loves God, and you know it, and everybody knows it, that this person is just committed. They're the real deal. Stephanus was addicted, but he wasn't just addicted, he addicted himself. He made the choice. That's what he wanted. You know, the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You see, following Christ is a choice. Following other believers that are also following him, that's a choice. Committing ourselves to God, that is a choice. Taking up our cross, denying our flesh, again, is a choice that we need to make. Paul said, I die daily. He had to make that decision daily that he was going to put down the desires of his flesh. These things that we have addicted ourselves to, pleasure and the things of this life, the things that are only pertain to our own happiness, these are the things that we need to reevaluate and ask ourselves, are these things really benefiting me? Are they drawing me closer to Christ? Or are they pulling me away? Listen, if they're pulling you away, then get rid of those things. Now, is it wrong to have some fun, to enjoy some pleasure? No, but don't live for fun. Don't live and be defined by pleasure and amusement and entertainment. We're turning off our minds. We're turning off our hearts because we've given ourselves wholly to this world. And it's time that we stop. And it's time that we get serious, that we get committed. We don't need to cower in fear before this world. We don't need to quit. We don't need to give up. If anything, we need boldness. We need courage. We need to stand with what we believe. We need to go to this world. We live in this world. But Christ wants us to be kept from the evil. So keep yourself from the evil, but go and charge the mount, charge the castle, and be bold for Christ. Don't back down and don't give up. Surround yourself with the right kinds of people. Love the things that God wants you to love. Do the things that He wants you to do in your life, but move forward. Be addicted. Be addicted to the things of the ministry. Be addicted to God and the things that He wants in your life. And you know what? You're not going to regret it. You're going to have the abundant life. You're going to find happiness and true contentment, something the world has no idea about. So today we're talking about this topic of addiction, and I think we're going to be continuing again in our next episode as we continue on it. But I hope as we look at this topic that we're kind of reevaluating everything with where is our love, where is our heart, and how can we move forward? How can we disconnect from the world and plug ourselves into God and His Word so that our faith is real and so that we can live this life, the life that God has for us to live? And so again, this is the Let's Talk Missions podcast. I'm really glad that you've tuned in. I'm just here in Zambia recording things that I'm learning. And I often take this message as well, and I give it to my disciples here and to some of our churches. And it's stuff that God's teaching me. And I hope that as we go through it, that the Lord's encouraging you. But until next time, thanks again for tuning in. And from all the Mandachera family here in Zambia, Africa, take care and God bless.